Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. Yep, it's October 1st, 2024, and we just got done watching the vice presidential debate, and this is your live reaction. Chris got a little confused when I told him I was going live now. He's like, what? I'm like, yes, the debate was on, Chris. You were talking to your father. So I'm down here. He's upstairs. Welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world, and our team who's up late with me tonight, soldiering on here in this live debate reaction. Hello to everybody jumping on. I see many people coming on, all from Pennsylvania, Ontario, Canada, Montana. Oh, let's see who else is coming on here. Washington State. Hello, hello. Blessings to everybody. Okay. Hello to everybody jumping on. Okay, so I'm going to open up in prayer, and we're going to get right into talking about what happened tonight, because it was very interesting, some of the things that went on in this debate. I think Vance I think a lot of people's minds are going to change about how capable Vance is when it comes to policy, and it comes to staying level-headed under pressure. I think this is going to change a lot of people's minds tonight for the better. So let's open up in prayer as people are jumping on, and then we'll get into tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we come before you. Father, we praise you for this night, Lord. We praise you that you are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. We praise you. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth in the form of a man. He died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He rose again in 3 days. He rules and reigns at your right hand forevermore. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords and our advocate without ceasing before your throne, Father. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins, Father, as we come before you tonight, Father God, as we humble ourselves before you. I ask you, fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Lead and guide us tonight, Father God, as we go over this entire debate. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You're the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Guide us in your wisdom to help us navigate through what we just saw, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Welcome to those of you jumping on for the live debate reaction. Yes, tonight was the vice presidential debate between Senator J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz. Now, I have to tell you, pre-debate, Kellyanne Conway had one of the best lines before the debate even starts. They bring her on because I had to put it on before the debate started, so I had everything ready. And what took me a little longer is I had to type so fast to keep up with these two that I made, there were so many spelling errors, I had to like correct at least like 80% of them so I knew what the hey I was talking about when I got on with all of you. So pre-debate, Kellyanne Conway gets on and she says, "We do not need another dad in plaid. We need a commander in chief." And I thought that was one of the best lines of the night, including the debate. We do not need a dad in plaid. We need a commander in chief. Kellyanne Conway, I agree with you on that. Okay, so moderators claimed they weren't going to fact check anyone and that they were going to cut people's mics if they thought they were naughty, which was interesting. So question number one starts right off the bat. We all know what happened today. Iran attacked Israel, sent over 100 ballistic missiles into Israel. The United States launched a defense from their aircraft carriers along with Israel to shoot these missiles down. Pray for Israel. This is just the beginning of this attack. As we get close to this October 7th target, you are going to see some very serious pressure and attacks increase in that area. And even in the United States, I would watch the United States around October 7th as well. I'm just telling you right now, given what's happening, given it's a month before the election, given that's the 1 year anniversary of what happened last year on October 7th, the attack on Israel. So they start right off the bat with this. And they said, tonight our country faces several unfolding crises. The Middle East war, Hurricane Helene, and a labor strike. Well, isn't that the trifecta that we all want to just hear going into the election? But that's what they're saying. So Middle East, they tackle the Middle East first. And the mod said, earlier today, Iran launched its largest attack on Israel. And it failed thanks to a joint effort with the U.S. and Israel. Biden has deployed more than 40,000 military personnel and assets to that region, the region, over the past year to try and prevent a regional war. Iran is weakened, but the U.S. still considers it the largest state-sponsored terrorism in the world, and it has drastically reduced the time it would take for them to get a nuclear weapon. It's now down to 1 or 2 weeks' time. Governor Walz, if you were the voice in the room, would you support a preemptive strike by Israel on Iran? I would tell you, if I was in the room, heck yeah, I would right about now. They've had plenty of chances to knock off the nonsense, and they are still doing it. So Walz says, let's keep in mind where this started. On October 7th, terrorists massacred over 1,400 Israelis and took prisoners. He said Israel's ability to defend itself is absolutely fundamental, and getting its hostages back fundamental, and ending the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Okay, so this is how Tim Walz starts off, and Senator Vance is about to wipe the floor with him in just a moment here, because I will tell you this, going into this, watching the debate, Vance could not be baited. He remained cool under pressure. Every way Walz tried to rile him up, he gave it right back and dismantled his arguments. And Walz, the strange part too is that Walz is, now this is strange, because some of Walz's answers, he looks like a moderate, which makes Kamala look even more like a communist. And so it was very strange. But he goes on to say, but the expansion of Israel and its proxies is absolutely fundamental for the United States, along with our Israeli allies, to stop this attack. And we need a leader. We saw it a couple weeks ago. This is what he says. We saw it a couple weeks ago in nearly 80-year-old Donald Trump. Tim Walz, have you looked in the mirror lately? I have a very honest question for you, sir, because you look about near 80 years old, and I don't mean to insult you, but I'm sorry, sir. You should not be talking about anybody's age right about now. Okay, so he said, we saw it a couple of weeks ago in near 80-year-old Donald Trump talking about crowd sizes. That is not what we need. It's not just that, it's those who were closest to Donald Trump who understand how dangerous he is. His chief of staff, John Kelly, said he was the most flawed human being he had ever met. Well, then he's in good company, because not only are we all flawed, but David was an incredibly flawed man, and God called him a man after his own heart. So he's in good company there. Walz goes on, and both his Secretary of Defense and his National Security Advisor say he should be nowhere near the White House. That is the pot calling the freaking kettle black right now with what we have wandering. We have somebody fighting political narcolepsy, Joe Biden, wandering the White House right now. And we've got Kamala Harris running around the country with a man that loves to wear plaid shirts. And this is the state right now of the White House. Okay. The person closest to Donald Trump said he was unfit for high office. That was Senator Vance. So they're attacking Vance on the fact that Vance years ago thought he knew it all, said a lot of things about Donald Trump he shouldn't, admitted he was wrong. Okay, he's mature enough to admit, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said those things, and I was wrong about Donald Trump. Now, what we have seen out of VP Harris is steady leadership and a calmness to draw on the coalitions to bring them together, understanding that our allies matter. When our allies see Donald Trump turn towards Vladimir Putin, turn towards North Korea, when we see that type of fickleness, he used that word a lot. You know, and normally when someone uses that word that much against somebody, they're that thing themselves. So I think we have fickle Timmy on our hands here, because he used this word. You're going to see this an awful lot. That type of fickleness, we will stay committed. As the VP said today, we will protect our forces and our allied forces, and there will be consequences. That's how he ends it. Okay, so Vance, now it's time for his rebuttal. Let me tell you something. Vance is a brilliant lawyer. And a brilliant lawyer can dismantle an argument in about 10 seconds flat and pull the pegs out off of somebody else's tent that they've put up. So Vance comes in. He says, thanks, Governor and CBS for hosting the debate. He comes in polite. He comes in respectful. And thanks, most importantly, the American people who are watching and caring enough about this country to pay attention to this VP debate. I will answer the question, but want to give an introduction since most Americans don't know who either one of us are. Well, isn't that humble of him to admit? Okay. I was raised in a working class family. Mom acquired food assistance at multiple times in her life. She needed it. His grandmother required Social Security help to raise J.D. Vance. She raised him because his own mother struggled with addiction, which was a big part of her life. So he comes from a state of brokenness. J.D. Vance knows what brokenness looks like, and he knows what it takes to fight your way out of brokenness. So this is why he understands the cross-section of what's happening in the nation right now. He went to college on the GI Bill. He goes on after enlisting in the Marine Corps, Semper Fi. And I stand here asking to be your VP with an extraordinary amount of gratitude for this country, and the American dream that made it possible for me to live my dreams. And most importantly, I know many of you are worried about the chaos in the world and the American dream that seems unattainable. I want to try to convince you over the next 90 minutes. See, isn't that interesting? He understands he has to earn their trust and he has to earn their vote because he says, I want to try to convince you over the next 90 minutes that if we get better leadership in the White House, if we get Donald Trump back in the White House, the American dream will be attainable once again. Now, to answer the question, we have to remember that as much as Tim Walz just accused Donald Trump of being an agent of chaos, Donald Trump actually delivered stability in the world, and he did it by establishing effective deterrence. People were afraid of stepping out of line. Iran, which has launched this attack, has received over $1 billion in unfrozen assets thanks to the Kamala Harris administration. Oh, let me tell you what else they received. So let me just build on what Vance said here for a minute. On 9/11, when the Twin Towers by some way were completely destroyed, on 9/11, Biden decides of last year that Iran should get an early Ramadan gift and Christmas gift of $6 billion. So on 9/11 last year, Biden decides that he needs to give Iran an early Christmas present and gives them $6 billion with a B dollars. And you know what they used it for? J.D. Vance is going to tell you. What they did is they used that money to buy weapons that they are now launching against our allies and, God forbid, eventually launching against the United States as well, which is a very real possibility. Donald Trump recognized for people to fear the United States, you need peace through strength. These nations recognize that if they got out of line, the United States global leadership would put stability and peace back in the world. He goes on. Now, you asked about a preemptive strike, Margaret, and I want to answer that question. At this point, Walz is looking down at his podium like a teenager that got caught out late at night and passed his curfew. So Walz at this point is looking down at the podium. He says, look, it is up to Israel what they think they need to do to keep their country safe. And we should support our allies wherever they are when they are fighting the bad guys. And Walz responds to this. He says, well, look, Donald Trump was in office. We sometimes hear of revisionist history. We had a coalition of nations boxing Iran in. He's talking about the Iran deal, which was a very, very, very flawed document that put the United States in a horrible position and paid Iran not to make a nuclear weapon. So kept giving Iran money that then they kept giving to their proxies to attack anyway. The Iran deal didn't work. But Walz goes on, Donald Trump pulled that program and put nothing else in its place. So Iran is closer to a nuclear weapon than they were before because of Donald Trump's fickle. There's the word. I'm going to call him Fickle Timmy from now on because he likes this word. Okay. Fickle leadership. And when Iran shot down an aircraft in international airspace, Donald Trump tweeted, because that is the standard diplomacy of Donald Trump. No, that's a way for Donald Trump to reach tens of millions of American people at once in what's going on and how he feels. It's a way for Donald Trump to actually reach the younger generation. It really bothers them that he tweets. I mean, this really like gets under their skin. And you know why? Because they can't control what he's saying, because Elon Musk gave him back his X account. And now he is tweeting all day long to his content, and they can't control it. And this is why they don't like that he's doing it. Now, he goes on, Tim Walz, when Iranian missiles fell near U.S. troops and they received traumatic brain injuries, Donald Trump wrote it off as headaches. Now, I don't believe that that is true. I think Donald Trump knows what a traumatic brain injury is. Look, our allies understand that Donald Trump is fickle. There's the word again. The word of the night, people, is fickle. Because Fickle Timmy said this all night long. He will go to where who has flattery or what makes sense to him. So he's saying, oh, he'll just go to whoever flatters him. He said, steady leadership like you witnessed today. And in April, both Iranian attacks, our coalition held strong, and we need the steady leadership that Kamala Harris is providing. She's not providing the steady leadership. She's the one who gave them all the money to buy all the freaking weapons that they are using now to bombard Israel with. So the United States government has become a proxy for Iran because they're funding Iran's other proxies to attack Israel. That's not steady leadership. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called stupidity at its finest. Okay, so the moderators jump in and they say, Senator Vance, the U.S. did have a deal with Iran to pause parts of their nuclear program. And Trump did exit that deal. He recently said just 5 days ago, the U.S. must now make a diplomatic deal with Iran because the consequences are impossible. Did Trump make a mistake? Vance, first of all, Margaret, he's very polite about this. He addresses them by name purposely. Now, this is a purposeful tactic he is using in addressing them by name. It's like saying to them, I know what you're doing. So, first of all, Margaret, diplomacy is not a dirty word. I think something Governor Walz said is quite extraordinary. You yourself just said Iran is as close to a nuclear weapon today than they have ever been. And Governor Walz, you blame Donald Trump And then he turns to Walz and he goes, who has been the VP for the last 3.5 years? And the answer is your running mate, not mine. So he's telling him, if you're looking to place blame for what just happened, look at the one that's been in office the past 3.5 years that could have stopped and prevented this. Vance goes on, Donald Trump consistently made the world more secure. Now we talk about the sequence of events that led us to where we are right now, and we can't ignore October 7th, which I appreciate Governor Walz bringing up. But when did Iran and their proxies attack Israel? It was during the administration of Kamala Harris. So he keeps saying, not the administration of Joe Biden, during the administration of Kamala Harris. He's letting everybody know that Joe is not running the country. During the administration of Kamala Harris. So Governor Walz can criticize Donald Trump's tweets. He can criticize his tweets all day long. But effective, smart diplomacy and peace through strength is how you will bring stability back to a very broken world. Donald Trump has already done it once before. Ask yourself at home, when was the last time that an American president didn't have a major conflict break out? The only answer is during the 4 years Donald J. Trump was president. That is true, because look at the mess the Harris administration has made off of Ukraine and Israel. We have two major conflicts in the other part of the world that is grossly affecting the United States, where we are funneling money that we shouldn't be funneling in ways we shouldn't be funneling it into these conflicts. Okay, so question number two, Hurricane Helene. Okay, so now they're off Iran. They're on to Helene now. The storm could become one of the deadliest on record. More than 160 people are dead and hundreds more are missing. Scientists say climate change makes these hurricanes larger, stronger, and more deadly because of the historic rainfall. Senator Vance, according to CBS News polling, 7 out of 10 Americans and more than 60% of Republicans under the age of 45 favor the U.S. taking steps to try and reduce climate change. What responsibility would the Trump administration have to try and reduce the impact of climate change? So this is the question. Vance's answer. So first of all, let's start with the hurricane because it's an unbelievable, unspeakable human tragedy. I just saw today, actually, a photograph of two grandparents on a roof with a six-year-old child, and it was the last photo taken of them because the roof actually collapsed and those people lost their lives. I'm sure Governor Walz joins me in saying our hearts go out to those individuals and our prayers go out to them, and we want to do as robust and aggressive as a federal response as we can get to save as many lives as possible. And of course, afterwards, to help the people in these communities rebuild these areas. There are some of these communities I love and know personally, Appalachia and across the South. Remember, he wrote a book called Hillbilly Elegy. So he knows very well what it's like to grow up in Appalachia. Now, these people really have nothing to begin with. Climate change, we support clean air, clean water. That's what he says, Vance. Our Democratic friends talk about carbon emissions and that it drives climate change. If you believe that, you would want to reshape American manufacturing as much as possible and produce as much clean energy in the U.S. Kamala has more energy production in China and overseas and more dirty output in what we do. The best we can do is bring American manufacturing back. Walz then chimes in. First of all, it's a horrible tragedy with this hurricane. We have relief efforts on the ground. That's all he says. That's all he says. That's it about this horrific hurricane. We have relief efforts on the ground. That could mean 10 people from FEMA for all we know. Okay. This thing came on the scene. This is what he calls it. This thing. Hurricane Helene will forever be known as this thing. This thing came on the scene faster than we have ever seen. And then he goes, and Donald Trump called climate change a hoax. Well, with all due respect, Tim Walz, your science is faulty, and the Earth has been warming up and cooling down for thousands of years. Okay? Climate change has created a billion-plus dollar industry for solar panels and for the Green New Deal and for all these, you know, other things that they try to sell you having to do with climate change. So he jumps to Donald Trump called it a hoax. And then he says, we have seen massive investments across the country, 200,000 jobs across the country. The largest solar plant is in Minnesota. Farmers are seeing it and are adapting. We are producing more natural gas, oil and clean energy than we ever have. The solution for us is to move forward and reduce the impact. But they are reducing the impact by getting a lot of our energy from foreign nations who can't stand us. And they think this is the answer for it. And it's not. Our answer is to become energy independent from communist foreign nations and Arab nations who cannot stand us, who hate freedom, who hate Christianity, who hate Israel. We should not be doing business like this with these people. Okay. He says we are seeing us becoming an energy superpower of the future. Yep, and all your wind turbines are going to blow men's toupees off all over the nation if you keep putting them up. So, you know, the wind turbines, these keep happening and keep going up. Let me tell you something. Those are hard when they break down. Those are hard to get rid of. You cannot recycle a wind turbine. I don't know how you're breaking that sucker down and recycling it, but the logic doesn't make sense. So Vance comes in and he rebuttals and he says, the president has said that if the Democrats believe climate change is serious, what they would be doing is more manufacturing and energy production in the U.S. Kamala doesn't believe her own rhetoric on this. That is true. Democratic leadership spending hundreds of thousands and millions on solar panels in China. Yep, people, Vance outed them. They're building the solar panels in China. I bet you if you look on it, you'll find a little sticker that says made in China, like you do on all those tchotchkes that come in to stores like Spencer's and other stores like that. So the solar panels are made in China. And if you want to make the environment cleaner, you have to do it in the United States, he says. Walt says, look, we are producing more natural gas. I am not going to say the joke I was thinking. We're producing more. Casey's like, well, Walt must have upped his fiber intake by an awful lot to produce all of that natural gas and oil than we ever had. These are not Green New Deal folks. These are farmers. Okay. Our number one export cannot be topsoil from the massive storms. Tim Walz, have you ever thought for a second that these massive storms are coming to because you have given the enemy an enormous window to come in and cost them? Okay, so what Aris has been able to do in Minnesota is allowing us to weatherproof these things, allowing us to weatherproof. Okay, you're weatherproofing the weather. Okay, makes a lot of sense. All right. To call it a hoax and take the oil company execs to Mar-a-Lago and say, give me money for my campaign. You could do whatever you want. What do you call these little fundraisers you're doing with the Wall Street executives, Walz and Kamala? What do you call? Are you getting around a campfire singing Kumbaya and having s'mores? Because I don't think so. I think you are sitting them down and saying, if you give us this and this, we are going to let you do whatever you want on Wall Street. Insider trading, thumbs up. Illegally bundling mortgages and causing banking crises, thumbs up. We'll let you do whatever you want. See, they're deflecting the very things they're doing. They are accusing Trump of doing. How do we know he's not bringing the oil execs there and saying, you better find a way to bring oil and drilling back to the states if I am president? Otherwise, I'm not going to tolerate it. I will make sure that you don't get business. How do we know what he's saying? Was Tim Walz in the room? Was he? Probably not. So, all right. So then he goes into immigration. So now the moderators, they stop it and they move to immigration now, which is one of the number one issues right now in the nation. And so the immigration, the crisis at the border, one of the top issues for American voters. Senator Vance, your campaign is planning to carry out the largest mass deportation and using the military to do it. Okay, so they ask Vance. And Vance goes, first of all, before we talk about deportations, we have to stop the bleeding. Apparently, something like there have been 94 things Donald Trump did or something with it, with immigration or deportation that the Harris administration suspended. He says, I don't want people who are struggling with addiction to be struggling because Kamala let fentanyl in at a record level. He says, you have to build a wall. And he talks about the 25 million illegals that are now in the country. And so he says, deport criminal migrants. So when you start with deportations, you start deporting all migrants that have a criminal record first. Right now in this country, there's 320,000 children that the Department of Homeland Security has effectively lost. So if you've ever felt bad about losing a pet, this is your day to just let go of that, because the Department of Homeland Security has egregiously lost 320,000 children. And many have been lost to being sex trafficked or being used as mules in drug trafficking. He said some might be with their families and the Department of Homeland Security doesn't even know. This is Kamala Harris's wide open border. Real leadership would say, I screwed up. Let's go back to Trump's border policies. And he's right about that. He's right. They stripped, like the varnish off a Foot Locker, all the border policies that Donald Trump put in place. And then we had the largest exodus across our borders and crisis that we have ever seen when they did that. Okay. Walz then chimes in. He talks about something not being with drug mules. And then he says it's not drug mules with fentanyl. He talks about something not being true. With the amount of fentanyl coming in. He goes, the last 12 months, we have had the largest decrease in opioid deaths. He said Kamala Harris was the only AG, attorney general, that prosecuted those who traffic people for drugs in California. We have the fairest and toughest bill on immigration crafted by Lankford, who I don't think could be totally trusted. The Border Patrol said this was what we need. 1,500 new border agents, DOJ money to spend adjudications. As soon as it would pass, Donald Trump said to them, no, vote against it so he would look better. Now, Donald Trump didn't tell him to vote against it so he would look better. What Fickle Timmy is not telling you about what is in that bill and what Kamala Harris is not telling you is they were trying to make them sell their soul to the devil for 1,500 border agents. They crammed stuff in that bill that had nothing to do with our border. Nothing. They had garbage about abortions and transgenderism and all sorts of other garbage in a border bill. I'm sorry. How many transgenders have crossed the border? Please tell me. Is this another crisis that we should be examining right now? Because I'm looking at this going, they're purposely not telling you the garbage that was in that bill. It wasn't a border bill. It was a bill filled with godless and deceptive and sadistic ideas that was frosted with the border. Okay, that's all it was. There was a little border frosting on the bill. That's all there was. And that's why Donald Trump said, don't do this, because they were going to put all sorts of other things in place on the American people and push more money into more of their woke agendas. And this is what they're not telling you. So Waltz goes on. Donald Trump had 4 years to do this, and he promised you a big, beautiful wall, and Mexico would pay for it. Less than 2% of that wall was built, he said. And then they talked about a deportation plan. Senator Vance even said it was laughable at one point, Trump's deportation plan. Senator, will you separate parents from their children? So the moderator stopped. They ask him this direct question, and this is his answer. We already have massive child separation thanks to Kamala Harris. We know the cartel uses children as drug mules. What Walt said doesn't pass the smell test. I'm sure it doesn't with all that fiber and natural gas he has been producing. I am sure it does not pass the smell test, Vance. Okay, Kamala bragged she would undo Trump's border policy, and she did. And somehow, months prior to the election, she got religion and came up with legislation. She is the border czar, leading to massive problems. It will stop with Donald J. Trump is president. Okay, more than 50% support mass deportation. So I guess the moderators chimed in and they said that. So Waltz answers, when you don't want to solve a problem, you demonize it. Vance said he would create stories. No, he said, if I have to create the story, meaning not lie about it, but make everybody aware that that issue is going on in that town, he's going to do it. So he says, Vance said he would create stories. Lankford said we could solve it. Lankford isn't totally, I don't think he's totally clean. Let's just put it that way. Solve it. Trump made an issue. I believe Vance wants to solve this, but by standing with Donald Trump and not having a solution, we demonize human beings. Oh, you mean all the military age fighting men with criminal records that are coming? No, they demonized themselves a long time ago, Timmy. They really did. No one's demonizing them. They absolutely did it to themselves. So the moderators chime in. The government has made the point. The governor has made the point. That's what she said, that Congress controls the purse strings. Do you disagree Congress controls the purse strings? She asked Vance. Vance says, first of all, we need to empower law enforcement to do their job. The agents just want to be empowered to do their job. That's true. They have tied their hands right now. The VP needs to empower law enforcement to say you have to go back to Mexico and go through the proper channels. In Springfield, Ohio, you have schools overwhelmed, housing unaffordable because we brought in so many migrants. Springfield is where they sent all the Haitians, where Donald Trump famously said, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, they're eating the pets of the people that live there. That's Springfield, Ohio. They have sent a ton of Haitian migrants. And what Tim Walz and Kamala Harris will conveniently not tell you about the Haitian culture is they just don't kill those type of animals for food. They use their bones and their blood in occultic ceremonies, Santeria, and witchcraft. So think about this. The Harris administration is willfully funneling a large influx of people into Ohio that are known to kill animals and perform witchcraft. Now, why would they do that? Well, if they serve a different god and they want to spiritually shift the atmosphere over states, you're going to start bringing more darkness into that state. Am I saying all Haitians are bad? No, I'm not. I'm saying a lot of them, though, practice this. The occult, Santeria, they use the bones, they use the blood. This is known. So they're funneling more darkness in and occultic activity into states they want to try to flip. And that is what they are not telling you. And he says, Vance then says, I think, Tim, you want to solve this problem. I don't think Kamala Harris does. So it's interesting in ways how Vance would turn it around on him and say, I think you do want to solve it, but I don't think she does. And it really would put the onus back on Tim Walz. Walz rebuttals, border agents helped draft this bill. He's back to the bill. He's back to the border bill. We are not dealing with it. And we're not dealing with it and blaming migrants for everything. This bill gives the money necessary to adjudicate. So he likes fickle and adjudicate, if you notice. These are two words that Tim Walz happens to like a lot. This bill does it in 90 days. Don't you find it odd? This number 90 keeps coming up. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar makes a 90-foot tall statue to himself to be worshipped. And then in Texas, a 90-foot tall statue of a half monkey, half man, nonsense goes up 4 days before they anoint their Democratic candidate who has a Hindu middle name at the DNC in Chicago. And now Tim Walz brings up that number 90 again and says, this bill would do it in 90 days. Guys, there's a reason this number 90 keeps coming up, because we are living in the hostile society swallowing culture of Babylon that wants to strip you of your identity and forcefully assimilate you into theirs and then swallow all your gifts, talents, and abilities to strengthen their position and weaken you. There's a reason that number 90 keeps coming up. Oh, and then in a huge twist of events, Tim Walz decides he's going to quote the Bible. He did now. You know, he claims I guess he's a Catholic, Tim Walz. And so he quotes Matthew 25:40. Let me read for you Matthew 25:40 real time, because, well, I think we should all look at it together. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. Do we know what the least of these is? Because I'll tell you what the least of these is. The sick, poor, needy, widow, and orphan. And it's not giving them asylum when Jesus says, if you do it unto them. He is talking about feeding them, clothing them, showing compassion. It's not giving them a get out of jail free card to cause chaos in another nation. As much as you do it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. The least of these are not criminal cartel members of military fighting age who are coming in with drugs, who are sex trafficking children, and who are coming in to rape women and wreak all sorts of havoc and bring their disgusting religions into this nation with it, that practice Santeria, witchcraft, dark arts. That is not the least of these that Jesus is talking about here. It's not. And Tim Walz took this scripture and twisted it and tried to insert it into the immigration issue. So not a good move there. Okay. And he goes on to say, that is true of most Americans, and this bill does it, and let us keep our dignity how we treat other people. Absolutely. But when you have cartel members and gang members who are demonically possessed and don't value life, I'm going to tell you something. I promise you that showing them compassion is going to get you hurt, not them. Okay, you have to discern what you're doing here. You know, David was compassionate. Did he ever show enemies compassion that wanted to completely destroy Israel and hurt their women and kill their children? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. So Tim Walz is blurring the lines here, and he's doing it purposely. Oh, so the moderators chime in. They're not supposed to be fact-checking, but these two naughty girls decide that they're going to fact-check in the middle of the debate. And they go, there are Haitian migrants in Springfield, but they are legal with protected status. With a straight face, I would have lost it. If I had to say that line, I would have lost it on national TV. The debate would have gone sideways. So this is what they said. And so Vance goes, you said you wouldn't fact check. So now he's fact checking the fact checkers. This is what's happening. Vance has fact checked the fact checkers. You said you wouldn't fact check, and you're doing it to me. Let me say what's going on. And when he did that, they cut his mic, and you can hear him yelling. And I am like, you know what? That's what you two little floozies get for lying in your seats. Because they were sitting there saying, we're not going to fact check. And boom, when it came to the Haitian migrants, all of a sudden, we got to try to rescue Kamala and fickle Timmy over here from what they said. So the moderators switch and they go to the economy being the top issues for voters. And Kamala unfolded a plan that will increase the deficit by $1.2 trillion. How will you pay for this? This is what the moderators ask Walz. Harris and I both grew up in the middle class. That has nothing to do with the debt, sir. Nothing. This is a healthy back and forth what we're doing here. Okay. Housing issues. Okay. 3 million new houses proposed with down payment assistance. And he goes, a house is a foundation. It's more than a house. It's a foundation. Yes, if you'd like to quote scripture properly, Mr. Walz, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the winds came and the storm came and washed away everything that the house built on, that the man who built his house upon the sand had built. Okay. $6,000 child tax credit and cut for the middle class, giving $50,000 tax credit to small businesses from $5,000. He said Donald Trump gave tax cuts to only the highest income. No, that's not true. Trump would destabilize business and lead to a recession. No, you guys have done that in your 3.5 year tenure as the president and the VP. Kamala Harris said to do these things, the wealthiest have to pay their fair share, and people can pay then for what you need. Okay, we have to go back because apparently Timmy did not go to economics in college. He did not take economics 101 and economics 102. So let's explain how people pay for what they need. All right, Amanda's putting her finance degree on for a minute to explain this to all of you. And I'm just going to explain this very quick in layman's terms. Okay, in the economy, you have supply and demand. In the economy, you also have elastic and inelastic goods. Elastic goods are cars, boats, luxury jewelry. They fluctuate with how well the economy is doing. The economy is doing well, people buy more of these things. The economy is in a recession, people buy far less. Inelastic goods are things like bread, milk, food, certain types of clothing. No matter what happens with the economy, people need them and they stay steady. So what happens is when you are in a recession, people do not feel confident about their future. When inflation is high, people don't feel confident about their future. And they hold on to something called disposable income. So after you have paid all of your bills, what you have left over is considered disposable income. It is that disposable income that is injected into the economy that makes an economy grow. When there's a recession and people aren't confident about the future, they hold on to their disposable income and they're afraid to release it, therefore hurting the economy. When people are confident about the future and their taxes have been cut and they haven't been bared down on by the federal government and they actually begin to have more and more and more disposable income left over after all their bills get paid, they start taking more of that disposable income and injecting it back into the economy. And that is what causes the economy to grow. I heard none of that coming out of Tim Walz's mouth, because clearly I'm not too sure how well this man knows economics, because that is economics 101. Okay, so he goes on to say, because, you know, he talks about them paying their fair share. He talks also about $35 insulin is great, but it only takes $5 to make. Insulin's too much. So he's trying to scare all the diabetics in the nation now, including our cat Chester. And then he goes into that Trump gave tax cuts only to the wealthiest, those that had the highest incomes, and that he would destabilize business. It would lead to a recession. Kamala Harris said to do these things, the wealthiest have to pay their fair share and people can pay for what they need. Like I said, I just explained to you, that is not how the economy works. Also, there's different tax cuts for different brackets of people. If you are an entrepreneur, you have a set of tax cuts you can use. If you are a corporation, you have a set of tax cuts. If you are a corporation providing 3,000 jobs to people, you are going to have more tax cuts at your disposal, at your disposal, compared to one person, right, that is working for another company but not employing anybody. Tax cuts are different based on the class you are in for taxes. Meaning, do you have your own business? Do you have a corporation? Do you have a... So they keep telling people these are only giving tax cuts to the wealthiest. Well, what is Kamala Harris and Joe Biden promised to do for all their Wall Street friends? All their billionaire friends? What did they promise to do for them? They're doing the same thing. So they go on. He goes on and he says that, which is a famous line of theirs, have to pay their fair share. Did Joe Biden pay his fair share for all that money he got from China? Did he pay taxes on that money? Did he pay fair share of taxes on all that money his family cleaned up with from communist countries that hate us? So Vance goes on and he rebuttals here. And he says, first of all, you will hear a lot from Walz tonight about Kamala. The truth is Kamala Harris has already done it. She has had 3.5 years and she has driven the cost of food up 25%, housing 50%. If Harris had such great plans for the middle class, she should do them now, not ask for promotion and claim she will do them after. That was one of the best lines of the night right there. She has had 3.5 years to clean up all of this, to deal with all of this, to implement all of these delicate dainties she is dangling before the American people, which is deceit. Make no mistake about it. She is not going to follow through on this. And Kamala Harris has had 3.5 years to implement all of this she's talking about, the lower food costs, the lower drug costs, the housing, the down payments. She has done none of it. She has done absolutely none of it. And she claims If you'll give her a promotion, then she'll do it. Apparently, they do not know how the private job sector works in America. Because if you went to your boss and your boss saw for 3.5 years, you did nothing that you were supposed to do that's in your job description. And then you go to your boss and you go, well, if you give me a promotion, then I'll do this, 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 and this. You know what the boss is going to tell you? Go scratch. I'm hiring somebody else. That's what happens in the private sector. And that is what should happen to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Goes on. Vance goes on. Donald Trump plans his plans that he's made. He talks about the record. Basically, economists have attacked Donald Trump's fiscal plan. They've attacked his economic plan. And Vance here says that the economists have no common sense or wisdom who attack Donald Trump's plan. His plan brings inflation down, I think, to like 1.5%, and peace throughout the world. Tim admirably admits they want to undo Trump's tax cuts. That was a funny line. He admirably admits they want to undo every tax cut on the American people that Donald Trump put in place. A lot of those resources went. So for these tax cuts that Donald Trump gave, that the Harris-Walz camp wants to undo, Vance says a lot of those resources went to middle and working class and was passed in 2017. He said, that is the record I am proud to run on. We need to get back to common sense wisdom. You are worried about paying bills. He says to the American people, you worry about paying bills, it'll stop with Donald J. Trump. So Walz chimes in. Trump failed on COVID. And 900,000 jobs closed day one. No. Let's talk about what happened. Now, do I agree with everything Donald Trump did during COVID? No, I don't. Do I think he was listening to the wrong people and put in a very difficult situation and caught off guard? Yes, I do. Let me just remind the American people, and because apparently Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have developed some amnesia here. It was your globalist friends who launched a plandemic on the United States of America and the entire nation. You guys made your own mess. And then you blamed Donald Trump for the mess you made. And then you complained about having to clean up the mess that you made with your globalist friends when you unleashed or attempted to unleash hell on this earth. That is what happened. You want to make messes, but you don't want to clean them up. And let me tell you something. That is the mentality of a spoiled brat. That is what that's the mentality of. Economists can't be trusted. Science, this is Walz now. Economists can't be trusted. Science can't be trusted. You don't know everything. Well, he didn't say you did. Vance never said he knew everything. If you needed heart surgery, you listened to the Mayo Clinic, not Donald J. Trump. That was one of the stupidest things I think I've heard said all evening. Oh, and Donald Trump hasn't paid for tax in years. He brags about it. Well, no, he actually has many corporations and he takes the tax cuts that are afforded to those corporations. So if you don't like the tax cuts, blame the federal government and the IRS for giving them. Because guess who's offering the tax cuts to the corporations? The IRS. Guess who's over the IRS right now? Kamala Harris and her band of merry friends. Okay. So Vance chimes in. Governor, you say Trump is the expert. What did he say here? Governor, you say Trump isn't the expert. But those experts said, if we ship to China, it would help and make the middle class stronger, meaning the experts on Kamala's side. They were wrong. That if we made America less self-reliant, it would be better. That was wrong. And Donald Trump had the courage to say, we are bringing American manufacturing back. That was also a really good line of the night. Vance goes on to say, I have three little children. I hope they are in bed right now. He's very human in many ways in this debate, where he just talks about very normal things in the midst of all all the field of crazy he's trying to weed through. He talks about very normal things. I have three little children. I hope they are in bed right now. Our drugs are manufactured by nations that hate us. That is true. Many of our drugs for the big hitters, okay, the big hitter drug companies are manufactured by countries that can't stand us. More people say they trust Trump with the economy. And then Walsh chimes in. He says, if you want billionaires to have tax cuts, then vote Trump. What do you call all the money that Chinese billionaires gave Biden and his family? What do you call that? What do you call that? That's what I would have said to him. Tell me what you call that then. Because we obviously shouldn't vote your party because you're the party that takes dirty communist money and pockets it and sells out the American people. He goes on. Much of what Senator just said, I'm in agreement. Now, this is the funny part. He just went after him for the billionaires with Trump and the tax cuts. And then he goes, oh, but much of what the senator just said, I'm in agreement with. But we have people undercutting the right. We saw venture capitalists profit that are overseas. We agree to bring that home. Kamala doesn't agree to bring it home because she hasn't done it for 3.5 years. Kamala has created 250,000 more manufacturing jobs. Then Vance comes on. Walsh said, first of all, Trump has to listen to the experts. And then he accuses him when he listens to the experts. So this is what Vance comes on and says. And then Vance looks at Walsh in one of the most brilliant moves of the night and says, you have a tough job, Walsh. You have to play whack-a-mole. This was one of the most brilliant lines of the entire night. You have a tough job, Walsh. You have to play whack-a-mole and then defend Kamala Harris's economic record that is disastrous. Now I have the picture of whack-a-mole in my mind and Kamala's head just popping up in that machine. I mean, but he's right. He's got to play whack-a-mole right now. So that was one of the best lines of the night. I know what it's like to not be able to afford what you need. We have to get back to wisdom and common sense. That I agree with. The moderators come in. The VP is often the last voice the president hears before making decisions. Governor Walsh, you said you were in Hong Kong in 1989 during Tiananmen Square. News outlets are reporting you did not travel until August of that year. And then Walsh says, I grew up in a town of 400. I joined the National Guard. They're asking him about China. And this is what he's going to. At 17, and I used the GI Bill to become a teacher. In the summer of 89, I traveled to China. I came home, started a program to take young people to China so they could learn. My community knows who I am. I have poured my heart and I have not been perfect. And I am a knucklehead. He called himself a knucklehead. Yep, another interesting line of the night. I am a knucklehead at times. I was elected to Congress for 12 years. I was one of the most bipartisan, and I have been elected to governor twice. My commitment is to say I am there for the people. I will talk a lot and get caught up in the rhetoric. Okay, so he admits that, but that's dangerous. Because if he's talking too much and getting caught up in the rhetoric and saying things that are not true, that is dangerous for the American people, for someone to be in the office of VP doing that. Donald Trump should have come on one of those trips with us. This is about trying to understand the world. My commitment, whether through teaching or good soldier or good member of Congress, and the mods go to him, can you explain the discrepancy? So they go back to him, like, why did you say you were in Tiananmen Square when you weren't? Walsh says, I got there that summer and I misspoke on this. I was in Hong Kong and China when the democracy protests happened. So he admitted, he didn't tell the truth about it. Mods chime in. Senator Vance, you called Donald J. Trump unfit for the nation's highest office, that he was Hitler. Now, this is true. Vance, at one point in time, did feel this way. You explained then you voted for Trump in 2020. You in 2020 disparaged Trump's economic record. You are now his running mate and your stances have shifted. How can Americans trust Donald J. Trump with his advice? Oh, how can Americans trust Donald J. Trump Will he hear advice he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear? That was the question. Vance says, I was wrong about Trump. I believe media stories that were fabrications of his record. He did deliver for the American people, a thriving economy, a secure southern border. When you get something wrong, you should be honest about it. That was very adult of him to admit. I have been consistent there. There are a lot of things in the Trump administration. First round, we could have done. Had Congress done its job. Congress is not a forum for them to whine. It's for them to govern. That was another fabulous line of the night. Congress is not a forum for them to whine. It's a forum for them to govern. So basically saying it's not for them to whine in Congress. They're supposed to be governing. They were so obsessed with impeaching Donald Trump, they couldn't actually govern. That I agree with. The one thing Joe Biden did, he continued some of the Trump tariffs that protected manufacturing jobs. And it is the one area Kamala Harris has run from Biden's record. If in China they are paying $3 a day, we are undercutting our country. Because if they're paying $3 a day in China to make the same product, they're going to outsource to China instead of manufacturing it here. The moderators come in. Waltz, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, you knew they were going to do this. You signed a law making abortion least restrictive in his state. Do you support abortion in the ninth month, like Donald J. Trump said? Waltz said, that's not what's in the bill. But he never told us what's in the bill. Trump put this into motion, this wrote when Roe v. Wade was overturned. A young mom in Texas had a tear in her membrane and couldn't have an abortion. She goes home, she gets sepsis, and she nearly died. First of all, if she has a tear in her membrane, why is she going home? Why is she not being hospitalized in the hospital for something like that? Then he talks about stepchildren, who are assaulted and impregnated by step parents. That is horrific. So he's coming up with the worst case scenarios that are probably the smallest percentage of abortions in this nation. In Minnesota, we restored Roe v. Wade and put women in charge of their health care. Project 2025 will make it more difficult to get access. They keep trying to tie Trump to this project. He hasn't even looked at it. He doesn't even know truly what it is. And they keep trying to tie him to this. Infertility treatments are why I have a child. I'm not even going to go there. He said it. Let's just move on. What's right for Texas may not be right for Washington. That is not right. We have seen maternal mortality outpace most parts of the world. We trust women and doctors. Here's the problem, Tim. It's not totally their bodies. There's another body involved. It's not their lung or their liver. Because fetus means in Latin, little human. That's what fetus means in Latin, little human. So there's another little human inside that body that is not your body, that actually is capable, once it grows to a certain, to live outside your body as a separate individual. And he doesn't acknowledge that either. And Vance says, I know a lot of Americans care about this issue and don't agree with me. I grew up with a lot of young women who got pregnant and terminated because they felt like they had no other options. Thea felt like she hadn't had the abortion, it would have destroyed her life because she was in an abusive relationship, a woman he knows named Thea. The American people don't trust us. We are endeavoring to do that. We want to be pro-family fertility treatments that moms can afford to have babies. There is so much we can do on public policy, on the public policy front, to give women more options. That I agree with, but you see, the Democrats, this is what they've done to women. They have purposely stripped women of their options, so their only option is abortion. They have purposely tried to undercut, destroy, and restrict women's options when they get pregnant to make it look like the only option is abortion. As messy as democracy sometimes is, let the individual states make their own abortion policy. That's what he says. Walt says, a Donald Trump made accusation that wasn't true about Minnesota. Oh, here we go again. Women have to travel a long distance to get care, and some of them die. because Roe v. Wade, the states can choose. How can we as a nation say your life and rights are determined on geography that people can't control their own bodies? Yes, if it was their liver, their colon, their kidney, it would be their own body. You have a second body that is a little human that is growing into a completely separate person outside of your body. But he won't say that. I agree with Senator Vance. I don't agree with his running mate. The moderators say, Vance, in the past, you have supported a federal ban on abortion in the past. Why have you changed your position? And Vance says, I never supported a national ban, but I do support setting some standards. Nora, one of the things that have changed in Ohio, we had a referendum and the people of Ohio voted against my position. We have to earn the people's trust back so many young women see a pregnancy as destroying their lives. And that is true because the liberal woke agenda has made it that pregnancy will destroy a woman's life. And that is exactly what the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the ites in the Bible who took part in child sacrifice would say to the poorest in the nation. They would go to the mothers and they would say, if you give up your baby, you will prosper. You will have prosperity. If you keep this baby, you will be poor. It is the same pagan, demonic narrative that goes back thousands of years that has been recycled and repurposed by the enemy to feed to a modern day generation. We are pro-family policies, fertility treatments, and pro-childcare policies. So then Walsh chimes in. We are not pro-abortion. We are pro-women. You're not pro-women because you have no idea at about the ninth year after a woman has an abortion, what she mentally goes through. Takes 9 years, but at the ninth year after a woman has an abortion, when that child would start to grow up and would start to, its personality would really start to flourish and would start to have features of the parents. Those women go through mental torture. They do. And Waltz knows not a darn thing about that. And he says, we are not pro-abortion. We are pro-women. Minnesota has one of the lowest teen pregnancy rates and is one of the top states to raise children. I find that hard to believe. Kamala is making a $6,000 child tax credit. We shouldn't have people like Amber Thurman lose their lives. He's going to keep saying this woman's name too. So, you know, we have Fickle, Educate, and we have Amber Thurman as far as his vocabulary goes. And we don't even know what really happened to Amber Thurman because we don't know if he's telling the truth on this story. Okay. Vance says, I agree. Amber should be alive. The statute you signed into law, the doctor who provides abortion and the baby survives. So if a doctor provides an abortion and the baby survives the abortion, he's saying in the law that Tim Walz signed, the doctor is not under obligation to provide life-saving care to the baby. And Vance looks at Walz and says, that is barbaric. Are we going to force Catholic hospitals to have abortions? That was a great line too of the night. And then Walsh rebuttals, this is a very simple proposition. These are decisions for women to make and decisions who know best. So he says, these are the decisions for women to make and those who know best. He's talking about the doctors. Like the doctors that made so many wonderful decisions during COVID that hurt a lot of people and a lot of families because they don't know best, because these deep state medical colleges are poorly training doctors to be nothing more than minions that see you as a number and a cluster of cells that could easily be written off in your life. That's what these medical colleges are teaching. They are training up emotionless, numb, sociopathic individuals to be doctors. And then this is why doctors handled COVID the way they did. This is why they handled, and not all doctors, there were some great doctors during COVID who knew what was going on, but many of them handled it poorly. And they gave treatments that were dangerous. And the same thing is happening here with this abortion issue. I use this line. And then Tim Walz says, I use this line, mind your own business. I use this line a lot. Mind your own. Tim, you should take your own advice. I'm so serious about that. Things work best when Roe v. Wade was in place. Kamala Harris is proposing things to make life easier. First of all, you shouldn't just want it to be easier. You should want to work for it. They're trying to put you back on the plantation, people, where everything was handed to them, right? Everything was handed to them, and they claimed, oh, it'll make your life easier. We're just going to hand you everything, make sure you know nothing, treat you like an animal, beat you, treat you like a workhorse, and make you live in an oppressive environment. And that's exactly what they're doing today. Vance then responds, I asked a simple question, Governor. You gave me a slogan as a response, meaning like mind your own business. And then the moderators say the American gun violence epidemic they get into. Senator Vance, you opposed most gun legislation that would curb gun violence. Earlier this year, for the first time, the parents of a school shooter were convicted. Vance says, I trust local law enforcement and authorities to make decisions when it comes to the parents, whether the parents were complicit or not. I want to speak as a father of three beautiful kids. Like a lot of parents, we send our children to school with hope and joy, and we know a lot of kids will be affected by this. And I think Tim Walz and I agree we need to do better. It's just how we do it. Close to 90% of the gun violence in this country. This is interesting. Now, listen to this statistic, because their whole gun violence premise is a lie. Close to 90% of the gun violence in this country is by illegally obtained firearms. And because of Kamala's open border, there has been an influx of illegal firearms. I don't want my kids to go to school where there are visible signs of security, but we have to increase security and school resource officers. The idea we can have a wand to take guns away from bad guys will not happen. Walt says, for all parents watching tonight, this is your biggest nightmare. My son witnessed a shooting as a member. His son witnessed a shooting. And then he says, as a member of Congress, I had Sandy Hook parents in my office. I am a hunter. I own firearms. Kamala owns firearms. He just threw the whole liberal agenda down the toilet right there. He admitted he's got firearms. Kamala has firearms. But my first responsibility is our kids. We can enhance background checks. We have folks that won't enhance research on gun violence. I believe Vance hates it when violence happens. I spent time in Finnish. So now we've gone to Finland, guys. Okay, so we've jumped across the earth here, and we're going to Finland for a minute. I spent time in Finnish schools. They have one of the highest gun ownerships and don't have this happen. Kamala Harris knows this issue is there. No one is fear-mongering to take your guns, but do our schools have to look like forts? We owe it to them to get it fixed. You can still keep your firearms and we can fix this. Vance, I'm sorry, Tim. I did not know your child witnessed a shooting. So he acknowledges that. He does something very humane here and acknowledges that. And he said the Finland point is interesting. We have way higher rates of mental health issues, depression, anxiety in this nation than they do in Finland. That is true. We have a mental health crisis in this country that is a big piece of gun violence. The gun violence problem in our cities that don't earn much headlines. We must take offenders off the street. I will tell you why there's a mental health issue in this country, too. Between the violence on TV, the violent video games, and the standard American diet, which is meant to make you sad, standard S American A diet D, which is meant to make you sad. The standard American diet purposely has ingredients put into it that should never be consumed, that are meant to make people depressed and anxious. And it contributes to the mental health problem in this country. So if you want to blame, put blame to, you better blame the FDA for allowing the garbage in our food they allow, because the standard American diet makes people sad. Okay. Moderator said, the moderators chime in. Governor, you previously opposed an assault weapons ban. You changed your position. Why? Walt, I spent time with the Sandy Hook parents, so that's why he changed it. Most firearm deaths in Minnesota are rural suicides. Well, Tim, why are so many people killing themselves in Minnesota if you just said about a half an hour ago it's one of the best places to raise children? How can Minnesota be one of the best places to raise children, but almost all your firearm deaths are coming from suicides? That makes zero sense. We should look at the issues, he says. This idea of stigmatizing mental health, that if you have mental health issues, you are violent. No, but mental health issues do go along with violence many times. I think there is a capacity to find solutions and protect our children. The moderators go into the high cost of housing, the rent, the inflation, the shortage of 4 million homes in the U.S. Governor Walz Harris promises a a $25,000 down payment and tax credit for new home ownership and building 3 million new homes. Won't handing out money drive the debt higher? Walz, I bought and owned one house in my life, my mom too. I'm thinking about Christmas after Mass. So he says he's bought a home. And when I buy a home, I think of Christmas after Mass. Okay. We need to make it more affordable. In Minnesota, we made sure it was big. It was the biggest investment in housing. We cut the red tape and made sure it was easier for local folks to build their home. A veteran's home loan, you don't need a down payment now. He goes, but of course you have to pay it back. Like all of us didn't know this. Minneapolis is one of the lowest inflation rates. We are implementing a state program for down payment assistance. People with stable housing have kids that are able to get to school. I know plenty of people with stable housing that can't get their kids to school on time. I hate to burst his bubble here, but that is the honest to God truth. We can't blame immigrants for all of this, he says. We don't have enough affordable housing, but we can make sure we kickstart it. The moderator said, Vance, the promise is to seize federal lands to build homes and cut back on immigration. So that's what he's saying that Trump wants to do for the housing crisis. And Vance says, first of all, Tim said something I agree with. We don't want to blame immigrants for housing, for the housing problem, but we do want to blame Kamala Harris. With massive increases in home prices comes with massive increases in illegal aliens. Kamala is not running as a newcomer. She is sitting VP. That was a good line. If she wants to enact these policies, she should use the office Americans gave her instead of campaigning about it. Donald Trump says, drill, baby, drill. Yes, he does say that a lot. One of the largest costs of housing prices is increase in lumber and supplies from the American energy issue. If a truck driver's fuel goes up to deliver lumber, the lumber cost is going to go higher. Donald Trump says we have a lot of federal land not being used for anything, and we should open up building on it for this country. We should be kicking out illegal immigrants, competing for those homes, and give them to American citizens who are legally here. Walt said, I will fact check Vance on that. The border crossings are lower than when Donald Trump was in office. That I don't believe. They have kicked it up over the past month to try to win an election. They weren't doing anything about it before that. These federal lands belong to all of us. They are to be protected, not built on. I think there are better ways to do this. Senator Vance, you said you don't like the economists. Senator Vance, which economist is saying immigration is driving it up? This is what Walt says. And Vance rebuttals. Federal Reserve studies, we will put up, this is what he says, Federal Reserve study, we will put it up on social media after this debate that connects illegal immigration to housing prices. That's what it does. It connects illegal immigration to housing prices. So let me go back here, because what Sadie just did is she just completely moved the computer here. And so now I have to go back to my place because she moved it up. Okay, here it is. I will fact check Vance on the border crossing is as lowest, he said, when Donald Trump was in office. And then he says, Vance rebuttals from Senator Vance, you said you don't like the economist. Senator Vance, which economist is saying immigration is driving it up? And that's when he says there's a Federal Reserve study. We will put it on social media that connects illegal immigration to housing prices. So he says we're going to smear it all over social media after the debate. When we live in a place that is making it harder to build things, he said. I agree with Tim Walz. We should get out of this idea of making housing a commodity. And the way we do this is curbing illegal immigration. And the moderators then say, President Trump said he has concepts about changing the Affordable Care Act. Vance rebuttals, of course, we are going to cover Americans with pre-existing conditions. I have family members, because they were accusing him that they weren't going to cover them. A lot of people have criticized. You are not going to propose a 900-page bill that brings people to tears. Prescription drugs fell in 2018 for the first time in a long time under Donald Trump. They are considerably up with Harris, Vance says. No one knows what things cost in hospitals. That transparency will give consumers a choice and drive costs down. So what he's saying is people should know what things cost in a hospital when they're hospitalized so they can choose what hospital they want to go to, and that will drive costs down. Walt says, here is where being an old guy gives you history. So now he called Donald Trump almost 80 years old at the beginning of this debate, and now he admits to being an old guy. This is what happens. This is the kind of people we're dealing with. This is where being an old guy gives us history. I was there at the creation of the ACA. I was part of the state Mayo Clinic. What I know is under Kamala Harris, more people are covered than they have been before. If you are home and, you know, if you have asthma, you lose your insurance. When Donald Trump said, I have a concept of a plan, it cracked me up. What Vance just explained might be worse because it's pre-Obamacare. No, it was better pre-Obamacare. Obamacare ruined it, and they put a plan for inoculations in there that took effect during COVID. What they are saying, if you are healthy, why should you be paying more than insurance companies? Then insurance companies will charge more. Well, if you're healthy, why should you be paying more? Well, you know, there are ways to do this with insurance companies, and there's a way to have insurance companies compete for your business. Moderator said, Senator, you have not explained how you will protect people with pre-existing conditions. And Vance says, we want the marketplace to function better. Obamacare was crushing under its own weight because young, healthy people were leaving the exchange. And that is true. Young, healthy people were leaving Obamacare in droves because it was too expensive. They make claims Donald Trump becomes president, all these terrible things will ensue, and that's not true. Then the moderators get into January 6th. This is the last thing we're going to cover. Vance says, the problems in 2020, they asked about January 6th, the moderators, and he says, the problems in 2020, we should peacefully debate. We should peacefully debate them. Donald Trump said they should protest peacefully on January 6th. We do have a threat to democracy in this country. It's not the one Kamala Harris wants to talk about. It's censorship. It's big tech silencing their fellow citizens. And it's Kamala saying rather than debate, she would censor her fellow Americans. I was raised by two blue-collar Democrats, and I have the endorsement of Robert Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard. We should debate our differences. Kamala Harris is engaged in censorship at an industrial scale that is much more dangerous than Trump saying to protest peacefully on January 6th. That was one of the best lines of the night, too, because censorship is another thing they don't want to talk about that Kamala is threatening. They're threatening to censor anybody that doesn't believe them. They tell you they're not going to take away your guns. Lie. And now they're saying we're going to censor you if we don't agree with you. And so basically, I thought that J.D. Vance did an incredible job of not taking the bait as far as Tim trying to rile him up and him turning it around on Tim. Every time he made a comment or he tried to rile him up or he tried to get him in a trap with Donald Trump, Vance had an uncanny way of turning it around and redirecting it back at Waltz. So now he's going to be known as Knucklehead Waltz, Fickle Waltz, and anything else you want to call him. Like I said, Kelly Conway had one of the best lines of the night. We don't need a dad in plaid. We need a commander in chief. That should be on a t-shirt. That's an amazing line. So Vance did. He did an excellent job in dealing with Waltz, trying to bait him, putting out a misrepresentation of facts, trying to get him riled up. And he was able to turn it around pretty much every time and fire it right back at him by sticking to the issues. You see, that's how Vance did this. He stuck to the issue, stuck to the issue. No name calling, no baiting, no laughing at Tim, no doing any of the nonsense that went on in the first debate. He stuck to the issue, stuck to the issue, stuck to the issue. And this is why he was able to do what he did. So, oh my goodness, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We got two announcements quick at the end for tonight because our team needs to go to bed. It's 12:41 here, 11:41 in Texas. And the fast starts at midnight tonight for Rosh Hashanah. So the national fast, October 2nd through October 4th, the Feast of Trumpets. Lashana Tova to our Jewish brothers and sisters. A sweet new year to you. It already started in Israel. Pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters. But the Feast of Trumpets begins it began 41 minutes ago for us, but it is full swing 7 hours in Israel already. It's about 7:41 a.m. there. So anything you can fast, please fast. A meal, two meals, you can fast for 8 hours, 6 hours. Just we're asking you to stand with us and fast. And also we're going to put Andrew Sorcini up and the Cyrus coin. So I have the Cyrus coin. I'll show it to you. But Andrew Sorcini has Beverly Hills Precious Metals. We did the Cyrus coin together. Prophetic for Isaiah 51. There's Cyrus, faithful shepherd on one side, because that's what Donald Trump has been called. On the other side, in God we trust. 2024 saving grace with the ark and the dove coming back with the olive branch to the ark after it rested on Mount Ararat. You can call Andrew Sorcini at Beverly Hills Precious Metals. His number is there. You can email him. You can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. It'll take you right to the landing page. You can go to bh-pm.com and fill out a form. But the Cyrus coins really mean something for what is happening this year. Cyrus, faithful shepherd, and in God we trust saving grace, because God is our saving grace in this, and it's only God truly that is going to lead us out of this. Man is a tool in the hands of an infinitely powerful God. So thank you everyone for joining us on this live debate commentary. We're going to be back on, I think, on Thursday. So Thursday, we will be back on. We will announce for the broadcast. Thanks for hanging in there with us. It's now October 2nd. We have gone through October 1st and 2nd together, all of us. So God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. I encourage you Psalm 91 every single day. Also Ephesians 1 and 3. We have other Psalms up there. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. We encourage you to read the word. It is living, active, and current for every generation. So God bless everyone. We'll see you Thursday. Get some sleep. I know I'm going to bed and Sadie's going to bed too. Hello everyone. Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rafa. For women, Rafa means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rafa is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you could go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rafa today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.